Let's be patiently enduring. Let's take our Bibles and turn to James chapter 5. Chapter 5, coming end of our study. But weeks and weeks to go still yet. But the end of the course. See you coming. Chapter 5. Looked at 2 weeks ago, introduction to these final paragraphs. In verse 7, says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth not." Keep reading a few more here to see the context of where we're going. "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, a tender mercy." So, I want you to kind of see that verses 7 and 11 are pulling together this theme of patience. And we looked at last time what that has to do. And that has an aspect of endurance. And I want us to go back and just remind us a little bit of the beginning of the book. And when you have something like this happen, where there's a theme at the front end, and then he comes back and emphasizes at the end, it helps us understand what this is at the heart of what God is ultimately trying to do in the people that he's writing to. Don't point to us. So if you go back to chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." It goes down to verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth." Here's this element of God is going to put you in a situation. It's a test. It's a trial. And what is being tested? Faith. All right, good. At the trying of your faith, God is going to put you in a situation where you are going to be like, do I continue to believe God? If you continue to believe, you will obey. You will humble yourself before Him. And that we see in regards to this, the brother's low degree versus proud man is going to be brought down, is going to be lowered. We're living for a certain goal, a certain aspiration, and all of a sudden trials come in our life, and it completely knocks us off of what we're pursuing, so that we'll realign ourselves and pursue God alone. And that's living by faith. Aspect. So God wants us, and if we don't know how to do that, we're unsure of what to do in our circumstance, God says, call out to Him, ask Him, pray for that wisdom to be directed in our lives, because He will give it to you. He will show you how to live by faith in the present circumstances. That's His whole goal. For the glory of Himself. And the end result of this patience is that you will be complete. You will be perfected. There's an aspect of when you think of what is the perfection that God is trying to work in our lives. I don't think there's any better way to put it. You can put some words on it, for holiness, but other words, but I like to put the word Christ-like. God's goal is to make you like Jesus Christ. We saw last time how Hebrews chapter 12, a lot of themes that kind of overlap. Talks about how run the race with patience. consider him which endured the contradiction of sinners. Jesus Christ is the greatest example of continuation. So you think about that aspect of enduring. My faith is strong if it can endure a lot of pressure. We can test something. You say, well, how's this thing going to do? Get up here and put a little weight on something. Maybe you've got a board or a plank you're putting across the thing. You're going to span something. You're like, oh, I'm going to test this out. You put a little weight on it and it cracks. Like, it couldn't endure the test. Its quality of something is revealed through the test of patience. God is putting us in the furnace so that we will come through and say, this has been tested. This has been tried and true. This is genuine faith. So this is what God is ultimately doing with these people. And it's not an easy test. What is the situation in which these believers are in? Are they having people say unkind things about them? Maybe. That's not what it's talking about. Are they having people who are not providing them, they're being swindled of their money? That seems to be somewhat. They're holding back the hire of their labors. So they're crying out. He says here in verse 6, ye have condemned and killed the just. We're talking about a trial to the very death. We're talking about a situation here that you say, is that what our Lord went through? He had to trust and believe in God to the very end. And what's very fascinating as we're going through the Psalms, and it talks throughout the Psalms, one of the key words of the Psalms is trust. You almost find it not in every single Psalm, but you're not going to read three Psalms together and not find the word trust. It's a declaration. So it starts off in Psalm 2, verse 12, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And then throughout, words from there on is the Davidic psalmist crying out, I trust in you, I trust in you. You come to Psalm 22, you have the people around the cross saying, let him come, now I'm messing it up, but I can do it. Well, I'm going to turn to Psalm 22. Trail here, but it says, verse 7, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted. Here's this element of Jesus Christ is on the cross and he's trusting in God. And what are the words that he cries out? That's a good one, and that's Psalm 31, just a few psalms later, which is a great declaration of trust, and I think even these are a declaration of trust. He's going to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm telling you, God is going to put you in places of paradise. But all of God's Word says, you can trust in God's deliverance, and he's going to put you in a spot where you're sitting there saying, God, where is that deliverance? Why aren't you coming to help me? God wants us to keep on believing his word in the face of all the evidences. That's what he means. That you don't waver. That you're not tossed to and fro in this aspect, like a person on the sea, a double-minded man. Trust, and I know just endure, be patient. That's the whole purpose. When God works this in you, you say, you see God come through in your life, he will work this kind of endurance in your faith. But what are you waiting for? You are waiting for the presence of the Lord coming. That's what you're being patient. You think about that. I've heard about that all my life. I'm telling you, I was sitting right up front. My dad, the preacher, preaching on, since I can remember, I was knee high to a grasshopper. Jesus Christ is coming again. 40 some odd years later, we're still. Illustration that he gives here, he says, a farmer who waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And that's one of the key words in the psalm. Trust is the word. I wait. Psalm 25:3. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You see this in regards to, especially in Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is this. Look at her title. Good men are scarce. Is the kingdom. Think about the farmer. Plant that crop, waiting, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now for us, we think that we've got roses and water. We can, certain hops, there are certain things we're supposed to do. We make sure there's no weeds growing up. We can actually put water up for them. Unless they were living close to a river, they waited on God. He says here, he waited as long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rains. Every time that expression, the early and the latter rains, are always in the context of God proclaiming his faithfulness. Wait for it. I'll give you the rain at the beginning that you need. I'm going to give you rain at the end. I am going to rain. So, Paul here is, we trust the Lord. Can we depend upon him? Is he faithful? Will he do what he has said to us? God calls us and says, keep on praying. Keep on trusting. This is the place where every Christian must live. If he doesn't come for another 100 years, there's another generation, another people sitting in this church. You know what? James 5 is still going to be calling for them. God. Wonderful is our faith. Someday, I knew what was going to happen. How many times does that happen when you wait for something a long time and then you get to rejoice in the day finally comes? There's an aspect of been waiting for almost a month and a half around there. Now you look back, that was a blessing. Someday we're going to look back. No longer going to be living in the land, this aspect of faith. We're going to be rejoicing. We're going to say, with Job, he's going to say, you have seen him. You can look back at that situation and examine that maybe even next time. It'll take a couple of verses to get there. He's going to say, you're going to be happy. You're going to be blessed. You come to the end. Do not give up your faith. That's a great blessing. God help you know that our circumstances all across this world vary. All different kinds of trials, testing of our faith. All right, that's a good word for this evening. Go ahead and see it. Yeah. make it here tonight.